If you're thirsty for big business ideas and lessons learned from people who have started up or started over, you've come to the right place. We've got shots of inspiration mixed with a few ounces of advice, delivered straight up by movers and shakers in Saskatoon's business community. So pull up a chair. This round's on us. Welcome to Chamber on Tap.
Good afternoon, Trina.
Good afternoon, T-Bone. So nice to see you.
Yeah, lovely to be here amongst all our friends. People are filing in.
It's so busy.
I have a question.
Yes.
I want to know who we're listening to today. Is it City Councilor Troy Davies? Is it EMT Troy Davies? Is it Synergy 8 Davies?
Well, we're going to hear from all of those Troy Davies.
All of them?
Yes.
Do we have enough time? Is it open late enough
here? We'll make time for sure, for sure.
Is he going to be talking about the Downtown Entertainment District?
Well, I hope so.
Okay, let's find out.
You bet.
Do you feel like you have a pretty good finger on the pulse in terms of where Saskatoon is at and sort of the issues that we're facing? And then you as a councillor, you have that inside knowledge, and how are you working to kind of bring that into collective policy?
You know, when you lock people in their houses for a year, 2 years, whatever we had to do to get through this. I know some of us had underground tunnels to our neighbor's house on Fridays. I won't mention names for the odd cocktail, but in all seriousness, our call volumes went up 10,000 calls in the last 2 years. And prior to that, we would maybe see 40, 50 extra calls a year. Mm-hmm. And 10,000 in 2 years is, we've hired 49 staff in the last 20 months, and we could hire another 30 staff tomorrow. So it's not going away, and it's a major city problem, and we're a major city. But it's really, you can't really put a pulse on it or a finger on it, because I've went through the play, like we went through the calls, we know where the addresses are, we looked at the calls, we looked at everything. You have people overdosing in Evergreen, you have people overdosing on Avenue B South. It doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter age, 16, 79. Like, we have people going into cardiac arrest from that. So the amount of Narcan that we're giving now per month is probably, I'll just leave it per day. Per day, we're probably roughly giving, 17 to 20 doses of Narcan a day. And we used to, when I worked the street, I'd work a full year, I'd give Narcan twice back in 2004. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we are. That being said, though, it's, especially from, I can just speak from a paramedic's perspective. Again, even when I worked the street, if I had a bad call and I showed emotion and I was like, you know what, I don't feel good about this, I had nightmares, I have issues over this, nobody talked about it. Yeah, and it was a weakness. And if you did say something, you were seen, and this was the environment for police, fire, EMS, and first responders. But you were seen as weak, and you were seen as someone who wasn't going to succeed in the job, and you looked down upon, so you just hit it. And the first thing you do after a shift is you go drink, and then we would see problems going on with our staff down the road because we wouldn't identify that it was an issue, that there was some mental health stuff going on. And even when you've seen patients, and I'll speak for me, I'm just being brutally honest, back in 2005, and I'd see someone, you're on lithium, and you've got this, you've got a history of depression, okay, you're shopping for drugs, or this is a joke call type thing. Where now, and I would say even back as 2010, that's when we really started to see, okay, there's some problems going on here. We had some suicides from paramedics specifically. We had people leaving the industry. And then I think as a whole in the country, everyone started to listen a little bit and realize, there's stuff going on here. And it's okay to take meds and to say there's a weakness and to move on. So where we are then to where we are now is night and day. We've got multiple mental health opportunities for our staff. We've got, it's called Beacon, where you can call confidentially. You can go see, a therapist, and it's all numbered accounts. Nobody knows who's going, and we just pay for it as a company. So, but it's not just us. That's across the board with fire, police in Saskatoon, and even EMS across the country. So I'd say we're there to support people, and wages are at a way now where, advanced care paramedic, who's been with us for 6 years now, is making $50 an hour. So they're making over $100,000. They're being paid very well, but we need to keep them there. So recruitment for us is a is a huge issue right now. We can't get enough staff, and so the government stepped up and have added another 100 students to SAS Polytech, so I think they can do about 250 students a year to not just help Saskatoon, but you know, we're kind of the metro service that everyone wants to work for. What about Blaine Lake? What about Roster? What about Humboldt, right? So, yeah.
Fun fact about this, what's going on up here, I'll let you.
Troy Larmer, we were the very first chamber on tap. We started this back at Earl's. You had to walk through the bathrooms in the back of Earl's, which was weird. You know, but while you're going there, you know, have a pee and then come on in and have a beer and listen to a story. But yeah, we were part of the originals. I think Dave Duchuk was one of our first guests that was up there. Jerry Grandy, another one. And yeah.
Yeah, so all right here, founder. So thank you for that. But you're right, it is all about relationship building and networking. And really, I guess for you, that would have been very formative in terms of your next steps to go, okay, I'm involved, but now I don't want to just be complaining about something or taking it in. I actually want to make some changes. Tell us how you decided that you're going to put your name in for city council.
I didn't decide it. I was told by Dave Duchuk, Don Atchison, and Miles Height. The first Miles Height came, and Miles was our counselor on the west side. I knew him since I was a kid. I played hockey with his sons. And Miles showed up at MD Ambulance at the time and just said, hey, I'm retiring. We need someone who the west siders know. You're running for city council. I'm like, I've never even been to city hall. Like, why would I run for city council? I'm like, I don't even know what you do. And he's like, yeah, I'm not surprised. Like, let's sit down and talk about this. So Miles did his pitch with Dave because I needed MD Ambulance to be a supporter for me to even run to be on city council. I wouldn't give up my job there. And Dave's like, well, I think you can do it. And I'm like, I'm not doing it. So he's like, okay. Then the next day, the two of them and Atch walks in. And Atch, you know Atch, he's just like, oh, okay, there, young fella, we're going to get you, heard you want to be on city council. I'm like, no. He's like, well, by the time you leave here, you're going to want to be. And they kind of went into the changes, and Atch was, you know, all the stuff that, and Atch is probably the biggest cheerleader for Saskatoon. I think he was on council for, you know, as a counselor and a mayor for 24 years or maybe even longer. So I walked out and I was driving home and I phoned Nicole and I'm like, so I'm running for city council. And she's like, what? So, and I, you know, I can tell you it was not easy. I had no idea what we were doing. Had, you know, Pets is here and I had Scott Fleming and Mike's wife was my campaign manager. I had Synergy guys helping me out and I had no clue. And honestly, I would sit there and then the guy I was running against bought my name. So I don't know if you remember that. Sean Shaw is a guy I was running against, and no offense to Sean because he apologized and gave me my name back, but I had a phone call from the Star Phoenix and they're like, yeah, so you run for city council. I said, yeah, we're ready to go. We got a plan. We got all this stuff. He goes, well, I Googled your name and I went to Sean Shaw's website. I'm like, what? So he's like, oh yeah, he owns your name. I'm like, oh, I'm dead. I have no idea what I'm doing. We're going to lose. It's over. But thank God we're Saskatchewan and not Ontario, because Ontario would be like, yeah, this guy's an idiot. Like, to let someone buy your name, you can't be city council. Whereas Saskatchewan's like, that's offside. Like, you don't buy someone's name. Like, this is brutal.
That's rude.
Like, this is, and really, I think that's how I won the election. Uh-huh. I only won by 200 votes, and we were running around, and we had no clue what we were doing. People ask me issues, and they're like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to change stuff. Like, I'm going to get really angry about your taxes. Okay. So I think I was the biggest upset because Sean had been, he ran against Miles the first time and almost beat him. Then he'd been in city council and city hall for 7 years, never missed a meeting, way more intelligent on the city side of things. But I felt that I had an edge on being able to just connect with people on the west side. I grew up there, he didn't. So it came down to the wire, won by 200 votes. I was a little bit shocked when I won, I'm not going to lie.
Like, oh no, yeah. I won, now
I'm
what?
Like, now what? And then they're like, you got to come to City Hall. I'm like, where's that? So we looked up the address, we met the Synergy guys for a drink, and I'm like, I guess we got to go to City Hall. So we went to City Hall, and I'd never been in council chambers. I didn't have any idea where I was going. And I remember we walked up, and Pat Laurie is standing there, and she's like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Troy. And she's like, oh, the MD guy. Did someone call for an ambulance? I'm like, no, I actually won. You won? I'm like, yeah. She's like, oh my God. I found my way and just in a poetic way, and people think I planned it, but when my swearing in ceremony, a police officer passed out and fell to the ground. So I like ran to him and like 400 people and pulled him out and like saved his life. Maybe not, but I totally didn't save his life. He was just fainted. But everyone thought, he's like, was that planned? Like, Atch has watched me run across. And I'm like, as soon as I woke up, I'm like, thanks, man. It makes me look good. It's all good. So, but since then, there was my goal in council is to make sure that, we're a team, but we're not a team. But we all have to get along because we're the leaders of the city. So if we can't treat each other with respect and handle situations, how are residents going to act if you're acting like a child at city council type thing? So there's a lot of things that we've done great and that I voted for and supported. There's a lot of things I've lost. I think I have the record for the most votes lost at council for the last 7 budgets, I think. So that's okay. We've got a police station. We've got 3 new bridges and we've got a library.
Well, you have been working on a project, like you had said, for the last 7 years with the city and the revamping of the downtown core. So speaking to it as a councillor, as a citizen of Saskatoon, and then, you know, as a paramedic who sees what it's like now, what is the vision there?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people who I would say, and I'd be scared too. You know, you're coming out of a COVID year, our taxes are high, Saskatoon's not a cheap place to live. But there's a lot of misinformation out there in regards to this entertainment district. You know, what we've been able to do is see what how other cities succeeded and how others failed. And the biggest thing is, I tell senior this, I'm getting phone calls on this every day. I said, I will tell you right now, if this goes on, is paid by taxpayers' dollars, it's not gonna pass. There's not one councillor, the mayor, that will vote for this. It's just not gonna happen. No one's gonna pass a 5 to 10% tax increase. It's just, you know, I couldn't do that to my own parents, let alone someone else's parents. So, but what we have found in the last 6 years of traveling to these other entertainment districts, there is more than, I'd say, 10 right now that we could name off that have been successful on financial plans to do this. And that goes all the way back to levies on car rentals, levies on hotel rooms. Those are the people who are going to make money off you having your venue there. You know, revenues off buildings that are around there, increased taxes around that side of it. We've got 3 major investors who are all interested in spending a significant amount of money on a long-term deal on this district. And if you think back 20 years ago when we were looking for one bridge and we hadn't had a new bridge in 80 years, you know, it was guys like Atch that had vision saying, why can't we have a bridge? Like, why do we keep having this mindset, oh, not in Saskatoon, not Saskatchewan. No, that you got to go here to do this. You got to do that. And I'll give full credit to Atch. He pushed that side of it saying, no, we'll do this here. And the province can give us some money and we'll work together with the province and the feds and everything down east in Edmonton, Calgary. That's great. We're not having people leave Saskatchewan anymore. We got to keep them here. So, you know, not to do one bridge, but we did 3 bridges in basically 6 years. And we did 2 at the same time. And the only way that we were able to do the 2 at the same time is we had this whole plan, funding plan, everything laid out exactly like we have done with the entertainment district. We worked on that bridge funding plan for 6 years and it was sitting there. And then opportunity came with P3 funding where we could do not one, but 2 at the same time. And we're using the same steel. We saved $40 million on steel just because we could do it together. So that's kind of where we're at with entertainment district stuff. It's not a go or no go, just so we're clear. If we do not, and I'm just going to speak as a board member for the SaskTel Center, I don't want to speak for Tammy. She's got a great presentation with TCU and with her district side of it. But just speaking from SaskTel Center's perspective on it, we're not a no-go situation. It's you build it or we renovate. So right now, we've got the opportunity to go to the province and ask for a heavy investment because 1/3 of their numbers generated for their taxes comes from Saskatoon. We've got major investors, Vendesta, BHP, Nutrien, you know, Campotex, that have VIPs and staff coming here. If we don't have these amenities and we don't continue to have these amenities, we're not getting them. The other part is you can think up here and you can think about people who pay to go to concerts. That's not what this is. It's a district for everyone. I'll give you an example. Wrigley Field has Gallagher Way. So Wrigley Field has a guaranteed sellout for baseball games. They have their season ticket holders. They have their revenue. They've never lost money. They didn't have to do anything. but they have people challenge them saying, why just the baseball diamond? Like, why not use this in the summer? And then they added Gallagher Way, where it's outdoor movies, it's outdoor rinks, it's pumpkin sales, it's flea markets, it's all this stuff, and that's what we need. So worst case scenario, if this doesn't happen, we're gonna have to renovate Sastel Center. It's gonna be about $120 million on taxpayers. There's not gonna be any private investors. There's not gonna be provincial money. There's not gonna be federal money. We're gonna have to close for 2 years. City of Hamilton just did it. They lost their WHL team. They lost their NLL team. No concerts, nothing. And if we have to do that just to renovate something that's still gonna be out there, where we don't have any events going outside the doors, we don't have any public engagement, we don't have, you know, I was even calling it Pride Day festivals, and there's a list of stuff that we can populate this thing daily. You know, we're failing our kids and our grandkids, because guess what? It can happen in Saskatoon. If it doesn't happen in Saskatoon, they're going somewhere else. And the arena, it's not tomorrow. We're not fixing this tomorrow. We got 10 good years left. You know, we've got Shania sold out next week. We've got Nickelback, who's sold out. But we've got so many great things happening in that building. But if we don't have a plan, we're going to fail. And that's where my passion is. So I don't want to see us fail. So we're not building this for any of you in the room, unfortunately. We're not even building it for me. We're building it for your kids. And more importantly, we're building it for... And another thing I just want to bring up real quick is parking, because this is the thing I hear about the most. Where are we going to park? What are we going to do? If you've been to Montreal, if you've been to New York, if you've been to Winnipeg, they figured it out. And what that is we have the mindset, and I still have the mindset, that I can, major concert, I can leave my house 20 minutes before, get there in time, should be in my suite or seat or wherever, and I'm good to go. That's not the mindset. It's a district side of it where, you know, bringing people there, you're not just helping those concerts. It's all it's the hairdresser working at Midtown Plaza. It's the university worker working at O'Shea's. Like, this is what you're helping down the road. It's not just this concert side or convention side of events. It's a whole other thing. So when we brought in the guys from New York, from OVG, and they just built Seattle's arena, and they built, I was in Austin, Texas with them last year, and they showed me the arena that they just built, which is exactly what they need, but they're more focused on the entertainment than the conference side of things. When we brought them here and they seen TC Place right there, two hotels built, River, and Saskatchewan's largest mall right there. Now you have the ability to, you know, the one scenario that they said to me, which I keep telling people is, and I don't want to speak for Midtown, but I know Midtown's already said they're in to do a significant renovation up to 80 to 100 million, which they've already done. They're willing to invest more. So when you're talking parking, it's not just being dropped off at TC Place in the arena. If we've got Toys R Us, which is ripped down, and we've got a multi-level parkade with Toys R Us in the storefront underneath, then you have underground access into Midtown. You got Bourbon Street right through Midtown. You got all these shops. You walk underground again, right into the arena or the hotel or TC Place. Now you've got the connectivity that nobody has. Plus, we've got a river, which is right by there. So, you know, to see the excitement and that we had two different groups come just because we wanted two different opinions. And when they both left, they said, you are sitting on a diamond here. You're a diamond in the rough. The opportunity this city will have 20 years from now, if you go ahead with this, is not just going to benefit those going to concerts or those doing this. Mm-hmm. It's going to go generational wide. Sorry, I got passionate. I just wanted to...
No, that's it's exciting for all of us to look at that as becoming an option in our city, because we all, you know, we drive through the downtown now and it's very scattered, and we just think, well, what's going to happen here if we don't do something? So I could chat with you all night. This is so interesting. Thank you for all of your hard work, all of the effort that you're putting into the city, and we really appreciate that. I'd like to offer you a round of applause for joining us.
This has been a distilled version of Chamber on Tap, a live event hosted monthly by the Greater Saskatoon Chamber of Commerce. Check out upcoming dates and speakers at saskatoonchamber.com or follow the Chamber on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram using the handle @thechamberyxe.